listen to a pretty all right podcast about wrestling, do ya?
Well, the natural lad, Jeff Swag, has said time and time again that there's only one podcast that's the most decent and the most all right in the industry today.
And that's who? It's the Dave Rayner Wrestling Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the post-WrestleMania Game Rage Wrestling. And now, it's going to be very hard to conduct this No Cursing Minute sponsored by Game Rage Magazine. We may have to give them their money back in this episode, because I don't know if we can make it to a minute. Because I don't know what we just witnessed at WrestleMania.
That is one of the worst since the new era of back-to-back, the 2 days. This might be one of the worst ones I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is. Since the two-day WrestleManias, this is the worst. There's no doubt in my mind. This is the worst. I think this is another prime example. And again, everybody wants to talk shit, Triple H included, saying shit about the internet wrestling fans and everything. Well, I'll tell you what, motherfucker, okay? I've been watching wrestling since 1993, all right? So over 30 fucking years I've been watching professional wrestling from a small child up until now into my damn near almost 40, okay? My opinion matters. I don't give a fuck what you think. My opinion does matter. Now, whether it matters more than the haphazard, lackluster fan base that you get in the arena that can afford to come to your events that doesn't really mostly care about wrestling, I think that maybe that will be decided later. But, you know, this audience was not it. This Vegas audience was not that great. Also, on top of things, WrestleMania 41, off the gate. All right, we're out of the one minute curse, obviously. 1 minute, no curse minute, or 1 minute, no curse, whatever. You know what I mean? I'm a little drunk. I had a little bit to drink while I was drinking. But I will say this. This WrestleMania night one. And let's just go, you know what? Let me just pull it up.
The results?
Let's just go through the whole thing and just do it. All right, let's just go through it. WrestleMania 41 results.
I mean, I watched pretty much everything, yeah.
We'll just talk about it, but like, I mean, night one. No, I want night one and night two. Live updates and results, see what these assholes have to say.
Hindustan Times, of course, the most reliable source in the internet.
I mean, that's who I would go to. I mean, that's clearly who I think they're the greatest. Like, dude, hold on. If you look at their live updates at 8:20 Indian Standard Time, that's it from our coverage. 8:11, John Cena becomes champion for the 17th time. Let's see. They got fucking Travis Scott is here at 8:05 Indian. I bet that was the exact moment that at 8:05 a.m. Indian Standard Time, Travis Scott showed up. These guys are on top of it. Matter of fact, I'm going to send the Hindustan Times an email and be like, hey, listen, I'd like to thank you guys for your coverage of WrestleMania. It was very fucking prompt. It was very wonderful. Very nice. Okay. It was very demure. Jesus. Live to. Oh, fuck. Let me just do it. Well, can't I just find WrestleMania 41 on Wikipedia? Jesus Christ. WrestleMania 41 Wikipedia. There it is.
Excuse me.
There it is. It's the 41st annual WrestleMania and likely the worst WrestleMania that's ever been in existence.
Dude.
So here we go. Where's night one? Do they not have the nights? What the fuck?
What's going on?
Jesus Christ. Why is there so much fucking night one? Why don't we just...
Where are the matches?
Why don't we just have the...
No, there it is, I think.
A little references. Bit. Scroll up. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay.
Night one, scroll up.
Night one. Okay, so night one. We had, again, as I fucking said on countless occasions, the disrespect to the World Heavyweight Championship. Dude. To open it number one. And then also to sort of do Jey Uso very dirty in this sense. And listen, I don't know if Jey Uso is it. I don't know if he's the dude that should be carrying the belt. I don't really care at this point because the World Heavyweight Championship means basically nothing. They opened WrestleMania night one with this fucking match.
It might as well have been a fucking dark match, dude, because the disrespect they've done to it, of them putting it opening match. Why? Dear God, why? I mean, sure. I guess if you're going to bury the title, at least put it second to last behind the Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and Roman Reigns nothing burger, because you already put it as the main event for night one. But goddamn, dude, the disrespect the title has gotten pretty much in every pay-per-view to open in most cases. Why?
You know, I would like to talk. Not that I'll ever get the opportunity to talk to Triple H about this, right? My theory is that Triple H isn't making this decision.
This one, I don't think so. I think this is The Rock pulling the strings.
There's no way that Triple H, a guy who understands and has been, I mean, listen, even The Rock's fucking been in this position. And I don't know why The Rock would want his fucking ancient nephew or whatever the fuck Jey Uso is to him. His
third cousin, third second cousin, yeah. Who the fuck
whatever
knows.
He is, I don't know why he would want him to fucking go on. He'd want him to almost, should be main eventing night one. That's what I would think. But I think this is a TKO decision. I don't think this is a Triple H decision. And if it is, I don't understand it at all because, again, we are working in an environment where there are two main championship belts, right? Two top titles. There's the Raw and then the SmackDown.
And they should be treated as like respectable, yes, honorable titles with legacy. Well, maybe not so much World Heavyweight Championship in recent memory, but yeah, it should be something that should have gravitas.
And somebody like Triple H, who held the World Heavyweight Championship for a very long time in the early 2000s,
yes,
area, and who really made it, was the first World Heavyweight Champion, technically, because Eric Bischoff appointed him as that when he came in, and someone who ran with it and did it and held it and brought it to new heights, he should be the one thinking, like, okay, this title needs respect. I fucking held this title. Why would I want it to be disrespected in this manner? You know what I'm saying?
Opening fucking match.
That's ass. And honestly, the match was terrible. Gunther is done. Gunther is done.
Especially after that finish, dude.
That finish, when you beat a guy, and I'm being facetious here, but I don't know what the exact number was. I think he beat him three times. I think Gunther beat Jey Uso three previous occasions.
I think that's right.
For the championship, right? In the last three previous defenses, it had been Gunther coming up on top of Jey Uso. And now Jey Uso somehow beats him with his own fucking submission, and he taps out the second he gets it on.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
I don't know what that's about. Gunther buried, and honestly, maybe rightfully so, because Gunther has become a fat piece of shit. He's become a disgusting fat body, and he's the private pile of fucking WWE right now. And his stamina has decreased. And I just think he's been phoning it in.
The match wasn't even all that interesting to begin with either. It was just kind of flat footed all the way through the match. It looked like they were going. It didn't even feel like a championship match to watch at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And you could feel it because the crowd feels it, right?
Yeah.
Jacob Fatu and LA Knight put on a better match that felt like WrestleMania than these two sons of bitches.
Yeah, and I will say, of all the matches that we're going to just briefly talk about here for night one, the only two that felt like WrestleMania matches out of the seven were the main event, which was the Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Roman Reigns, yep, and the Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, US.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Those felt like WrestleMania matches. Everything else was, this could have been on a fucking dark match,
yeah,
realistically. Okay, so we get into the next match, New Day versus the War Raiders in what essentially was a 9 minute and 15 second ad for Clash of Clans.
Dude, that was so, I would, if they would have told me, hey, you're going to be putting on these garments that look like they were made from like play school.
Yeah.
if they told me that you're going to do that shit and you're going to shill a game, I'd be like, where's my check? Because the War Raiders had to wear those stupid pieces of crap and also wrestle and lose? Shit, man, you better cut me a $3 million check for whatever they bring in from Clash of Clans.
The War Raiders better have got some of that Clash of Clans money. That's all I gotta say, all right? That's fucking A number one.
And they're dead, dude.
They're dead. Done in the water. What a great gimmick that was as the Viking Raiders when they were in NXT. And then to bring them up and just fuck them like this just really sucks. It's really disheartening. And again, just showing further how they kind of just don't give a fuck about the tag team division, because we could have had a sweet triple threat match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. We didn't get it. Instead, we got this. We got the fucking ad for the Clash of Clans because the War Raiders look like some of those assholes in that game. That's the only reason. And then we had the New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods coming out dressed as Dragon Ball Z, as they always do, which I will say, that's fucking sweet. I like that. I appreciate that those guys love Dragon Ball Z, and every fucking WrestleMania, they do some kind of new spin on a Dragon Ball Z fucking outfit, like the Z Warriors or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Even fucking Naomi's outfit in the next match, I felt like was heavily inspired by Dragon Ball Z.
I'm not going to lie. I actually, this is the point I walked away and I didn't really care what happened. Yeah. So this was a match I skipped, actually. So I don't really know what happened.
I fast forwarded it. Jade Cargill beats Naomi. It was a fucking 9-minute squash match of fucking garbage. I didn't like it. Whack.
Okay, so what was the highlight of it? Was there a highlight?
No, there was no highlights. I don't know what, and see, this is the other thing. All right, Jade Cargill is fucking shredded, right? Jade Cargill is on, like, all of the lady steroids. Whatever the lady steroids are, like, whatever China was taking, all right? Like, she's on that shit. Like, her clitoris is a straight penis right now, okay, because of the amount of steroids that she's on, all right? And why you would cover that up with a fucking, those stupid, I don't know what, like San Diego Chargers lightning bolts on her stomach, but you put it in a, it was like a onesie that she was wearing. I'm like, why would you cover that up? Why would you cover up her shredded fucking abs? That's like showing how she's an imposing fucking figure, right? That's 90% of the reason why we believe she's going to whoop that ass.
It turned into a squash match.
Yeah, and that's basically what it was, but like, I don't know. It just didn't make any fucking sense. But anyways, fuck that match. We get into match number 4 on night 1. Jacob Fatu going up against LA Knight. And hilariously enough, you know, fucking Solo Sikoa coming out to just like bring him to the ring seemingly as like a manager type person. But then like he stops at the ramp and at the main entryway and just goes, all right, man, go get him. And then he fucks off and he leaves. And I was like, dang, Solo Sikoa getting buried again. Like,
dude, he is falling so far from being a B-plus player to basically being a non-letter grade wrestler.
Yeah.
It's so, I mean, I wasn't really a fan of him to begin with, but to see somebody climb so quickly and then also just fall equally as fast, pretty damn impressive.
It is quite impressive, to be honest with you. It is very impressive.
But, dude, Jacob Fatu is a fucking star, man. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of us felt that way when he cut his first promo. And we're like, oh, well, not only can this guy fucking wrestle, especially in Survivor Series when he did all those like moonsaults. And then obviously within this match, Jacob Fatu pulled off, you know, like a Samoan drop. And then he three back-to-back-to-back moonsaults and put LA Knight away. That, I mean, dude, people were going fucking nuts for him.
Yeah, man.
It was great.
It was great. And I do think that Jacob Fatu is going to be the future.
Yeah.
If they're serious about this, and he needs to have a nice run in the U.S. title, the mid-card title reign. He needs to have a couple of feuds. He needs to have a couple, maybe lose the belt, get it back a couple times.
Yeah.
And then he needs to go up to the main title picture.
How long do you think they make him wait, though? Because I think they give him like 9 months of him being champion, and then they're like, all right, we can't wait for this to we can't wait for this, because he doesn't have a lot of time either, so it's like, right, they need to fucking get him up to the main event as quickly as possible.
As much as I disagree with this,
yes,
I think that Jacob Fatu wins the Royal Rumble and goes on to WrestleMania next year to win the championship. Like, that's,
yeah, that's like 7 months.
I feel like that's too soon, though.
Yeah,
I think Jacob Fatu needs 2 fucking years at least in that mid-card title scene to like really solidify himself as a performer.
Yeah.
To solidify himself as a wrestler. That's what I think he needs. And honestly, I think we need to see LA Knight be elevated up to the main title picture first.
Yeah.
And then I think what would be an excellent feud, even though LA Knight's getting to be an old guy, but he still fucking puts in the work and performs, I think when Jacob Fatu goes into this right now, this whole little feud between them may be setting the stage for 2 years down the line when they're going to be fighting for the world title. Like, that would be fucking awesome. That's something that I was very positive about coming out of this WrestleMania, was the even though LA Knight lost, I do think that this is setting up a great feud between him and Jacob Fatu.
And I think the thing that sucks is, like, I don't think LA Knight deserved this loss. It should have been at Shinsuke's expense. But, you know, it worked out the way it worked out. It's fine, I guess. But the right guy won, and now he's on the fast track, or he's on the right track to become a possible main eventer, maybe in the next year or two.
Yeah, indeed. And then, so going into next, we had the match number five of night one. We had El Grande Americano versus Rey Fénix. And that match was honestly terrible. I thought that was going to be a great match. Well, I was really looking forward to El Grande Americano going against Rey Mysterio. I think that this would have been Rey Mysterio's fucking swan song of like, hey, I'm pretty much probably going to be done after this, and this is going to be my last WrestleMania. He's not getting the fanfare that fuckboy John Cena's getting, but Rey Mysterio has contributed just as much, if not more, than John Cena has, I think, during his time as in professional wrestling. And I think that Rey Mysterio kind of deserved to have this like fucking awesome match at the end. And I don't think the match sucked because, you know, well, obviously El Grande Americano was fucking Chad Gable, but I don't think that it sucked because it's Chad Gable or Rey Fénix. I think it was just because they were like, ah, shit, this is a last minute fucking thing. And I do think they tried to fucking shoehorn Rey Fénix just into Rey Mysterio's role and just be like, okay, just kind of go do the same stuff a little bit, but like maybe do a little bit on your own. I don't think they gave him a lot of fucking leeway to kind of do what they wanted to do. And I think that because this match did feel heavily produced for some reason, like I feel like there was a lot of extra hands in the middle of it. I don't know. Could be because Rey Fénix is new. He's new into the WWE.
I mean, if
they don't trust him, you know.
Yeah, if Rey Mysterio actually got injured and they like, all right, now we're gonna pull the trigger on Rey Fénix because we have to. See what you guys can come up with in, you know, a week or less than a week for a match. And they're like, it just kind of maybe felt like a jumbled mess because of that they didn't.
Yeah.
They weren't able to coordinate a match like with preparation.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, is what it is. It's kind of just whatever. Then we had after that, Tiffany Stratton going up against Charlotte Flair for the women's championship. And Charlotte Flair, as you said, put it perfectly earlier, sandbagged the shit out of that match.
It looked like she did. It looked like, I mean, there was a point where Tiffany Stratton, I think it was basically the end of the match, but Tiffany Stratton set up a Alabama slam in the ring corner, and it didn't look like Charlotte was giving it to her, like, you know, making it look good or anything like that.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like how it felt throughout the match, because there was even tussling in between them trying to grapple each other that it wasn't all that smooth. I'm like, dude, is she fucking sandbagging fucking Tiffany Stratton just to make her look like shit, dude?
And yeah, this is one of those things where I felt it the second Charlotte came out. When I saw the way that she was doing her little entrance, I was like, she's already not giving, like, you could just tell, like, a look in her eyes that she doesn't give a shit. And I was like, oh, because she's going to lose.
Yeah.
And that's one of Charlotte Flair's major, I don't know what you want to call it, like, flaws, I guess. Whenever she's going to lose a big time match and she doesn't agree with it, you can tell going into that match, like the intro, the entrances, you can just tell by looking at her eyes that she's like, oh, I don't want to fucking be here. I don't want to do this. And yeah, that definitely affected the match for sure. I mean, the shit, they gave him damn near 20 minutes. They gave him, this was the longest match of the night up until this point at 19 minutes and 5 seconds. And it was 19 minutes and 5 seconds of Charlotte Flair sandbagging on Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
Which was fucked. But anyways, Tiffany Stratton keeps the strap. Okay. You know,
well, considering what the other option was, which is giving Charlotte Flair her
15th or
whatever title she has, they could still do that like 5 years down the road, and they're probably going to give it to her. They're probably going to give her 16 by the time she finishes her career. But I really didn't care what the outcome was, but at least it was Tiffany Stratton and it wasn't Charlotte Flair, because she can have those title reigns anytime.
True story. And then we go into the main event of night one, which was Seth Rollins against CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. And I will say this again, highlighting that the WWE, no one can touch the WWE on video packages. They do that better than any fucking buddy else. There's no one in the game that does video packages or hype packages, whatever you want to call them. No one does them better than the WWE. They do them fucking excellently. And this CM Punk video package, after Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins both came out, was no exception. This was fucking excellent. It was setting up the stuff. It was playing his original fucking music that he came out to.
Kill Switch Engage.
That original music was going on in the background. It was him mirroring, you know, like things that he had said in the past.
CM Punk. It was straight edge society.
Yeah, man, it was a great like callback to that time, and like again, just reminding everybody why they love CM Punk, right? Like in that, and that's when that video package, how fire that was. That's when I knew what I had said last week when we had did our episode about it. And I had said that I think that Seth Rollins is gonna obvious. It's the obvious move is that Paul Heyman is gonna betray everybody and go with Seth Rollins, right? I knew the second that I saw that video package, I'm like, oh, I'm right. This is exactly what's going to happen.
There was one before that on Raw, the Raw before WrestleMania, that they were emphasizing Paul Heyman and his friendship with Roman Reigns and CM Punk. I'm like, that's it. Seth Rollins is going to, they're going to have some type of shenanigans. Yeah. And ultimately, that's what happened. That's what happened. And I don't think anybody expected any less. I think for sure it's still a shock to see. But it wasn't an outcome that most people would have like seen otherwise.
Yeah, most people that don't know wrestling didn't see that coming. And I will say, even though I saw it coming, it was awesome to see.
Yeah.
I felt like they executed it fucking perfectly. And the match itself was good. Like, the match was good. Like I had said, the two matches, this was one of the matches that felt like a WrestleMania fucking match.
Yeah, the crowd was feeling it.
Yeah, man, and they were into it, and because it mattered, because like even though, and realistically, this match was for nothing.
There was no stakes involved. None. It's really just a. I don't even know if it's like a grudge match. I imagine it is to some degree, but we don't even know what the stipulation or if there's like any at. I mean, we have to suspect that this is going to be for the main title, like
the undisputed WWE title. A number one, like at Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins is likely going to be challenging John Cena.
Yeah.
And we could get real crazy and be throwing in Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins into the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah.
I mean, having them two go up against who knows who else, man, that would be a cool thing to see.
So do you have any spots that stuck out to you in particular?
Yeah, so the two table spots, all right?
Yeah.
I thought Roman Reigns legitimately injured CM Punk when he put him through that fucking table.
Yeah.
Because it did not fucking give right away. And the way he, like, whiplashed back, I thought he fucked him up like a little bit, and then the table collapsed. Kind of similar with the way when he put Seth Rollins through, it almost didn't fucking break right away. It was like a slight delay. He hit and then it broke. And I don't know if it's the way they designed, because those tables were very weirdly shaped. And I will say this, I don't like in night two, we saw it, but someone went through a table, okay? And then less than a match later, we saw it. The table was rebuilt or brought back out, all right? I don't like that. The table gets destroyed, and I believe that the announcer should have to sit there with a destroyed table in front of them for the rest of the fucking night. Because that's how it used to be, and that's like back when in the day, that was what made wrestling feel real. This was an impromptu thing. We don't have another table fucking ready to be. So that just made it seem like, to me, it just felt like, oh yeah, it was super staged. Like, this was in night two, obviously. Oh yeah, this table spot was super staged. And that we just had an extra table ready and waiting for all these guys, and they just brought them out new tables right away. I don't like that. Or the tables were easily fucking put back together. It's like Legos. Like, the tables are like Legos, and you can just break them. Then to me, that takes me out of it and shows me, well, the table's not a big deal when someone goes through it. If you can just rebuild the table, that means you're fine. Like, you're good. So I don't like that. But those two table spots, those stood out. The Seth Rollins trying to convince Roman Reigns that it's, hey, man, it's me and you. That was a cool, like, little moment.
Yeah.
Again, calling back to the Shield. A lot of people, even though they're idiots, because Dean Ambrose or John Moxley is in contract currently with AEW, so it's not like he's going to fucking show up. But a lot of people online were like, I'm telling you, I got inside information. John Moxley is showing up at fucking... And I was like, unless WWE announces that they bought AEW, John Moxley ain't showing up for this fucking match, all right? There's no fucking way. So a couple of those spots were good. There was some thing where they traded finishers a couple of times.
Yeah.
But it wasn't overdone like they do in AEW, like where they do it like 9 times in a row and I want to stab somebody.
You know what the spot was? Okay, there was 2 spots. First one was Roman going for the spear, and then it didn't exactly hit the way it was supposed to, but Seth Rollins countering by jumping over Roman Reigns and doing the pedigree. That was fucking sweet.
And that was a hell of a pedigree too, man. That I was like, holy shit, I think he killed him.
The second was obviously the hallmark moment, which was Paul Heyman selling that he was going to give the chair to CM Punk, and then and also Roman Reigns. That was very cool. I mean, like I said, it was predictable. It's what I think a lot of people maybe suspected, that kind of know the tropes of wrestling or expect certain patterns from Paul Heyman, that he's kind of a conniving manager or, you know, even a wise man figure, that this would happen. But I thought this was a pretty entertaining fucking, I was sports entertained at a sports entertained, mm-hmm. but what does this ultimately mean? Not a whole fucking lot.
Apparently. I mean, it just means that now Paul Heyman's with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, it doesn't really amount to anything. And
I hope this is the beginning of a new faction that's going to start. It's going to roll up.
I hope so.
And I hope we get like Drew McIntyre involved. I hope we get fucking maybe, I don't know, one of the women involved. It's probably going to be Rhea Ripley because she can't really stand on her own, as we all know. Fuck. Io Sky deserves it better than fucking her, to be honest with you, to be in get the rub.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. So now we get into night 2. Opened up with this was an excellent fucking match, man.
It was.
Io Sky versus Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley. Triple threat for the women's world title, and goddamn, it was a banger of a match, man. I gotta give them fucking credit. I did not have many high expectations coming into this because I thought that, okay, for sure they're gonna give it to Bianca or Rhea, even though neither of them need it. Neither of them need it. The only one in this match who needs the dub at WrestleMania is Io Sky, and fucking sure as shit, they actually gave it to her. So to all of our surprise, I felt like. But that was a great match, man. That was a good, they had a good go. That felt like a WrestleMania fucking match. And this is where, like, night 2 had that feel more so than night 1. And this is why I do think that we should go back to fucking one night of WrestleMania, all right? Even if you gotta make it 5 hours, just fucking make it 5 hours. I think this 2-night bullshit is horrible. I think it's the worst thing that's ever fucking happened.
Yeah, because now we're getting, like, crappy matches on both, as opposed to just making a one night bill of matches consistently awesome throughout.
Yeah, it's like 10 matches that are solid fucking awesome. Like, maybe. And this is the, even the like filler matches are still good matches on most WrestleManias that were one night. Like, I can't really, and this was one of the things that I was kind of thinking about doing, is going back and doing like, all right, like we start at a certain time of like whatever the year, and we just say, all right, we're going to start now, and then we're going to say every week, like, oh, maybe we review, we talk about, like, 1997, what happened in 97 on April, whatever the week is, right? And we just go watch the Raw and SmackDown. Oh, we go back to this?
Yeah.
We watch the Raw and the SmackDown for that week. Well, it'd be just Raw, I think. Watch the Raw, and then we watch whatever pay-per-views, and then we'll watch when it comes up to WrestleMania, we'll watch that WrestleMania, and then be like, was it really as good as we remember it? Because I think it is. I think it will be as good. I think it'll hold up to the shit that's going on currently now. I don't know. Maybe it won't. Maybe we'll be like, damn, this is garbage.
Yeah.
But anyways, so that match was great. We also had Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest, which I'll be honest, I didn't fucking have high expectations for this match. But at the end of the day, it was pretty good. It felt like a WrestleMania match. It was a street fight. Drew McIntyre got the fucking dub. He needed it, even though this match, again, everything's sponsored by something. And god damn it, man. Like, I like Doom, so I can't fucking fault this or whatever, because I enjoy the Doom Slayer and I enjoy the Doom games. But fuck, did you guys really need to fucking have Drew McIntyre come out, like, to a Doom Slayer, like,
shield?
Yeah, like, a shield and, like, it's rocks and skulls and it's, like, the helmet. Why didn't you fucking have him wear the helmet? Why didn't you have, like, fuck, man, there's so much you could have done with this to make it cooler. Instead, you just had some fucking gay ass statue sitting in the middle. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, why?
And he just posed on it.
And he just sat there and he looked at it and he stared at it like, ah, I'm paying homage to the Doom Slayer. I'll bet you Drew McIntyre's never played fucking Doom in his entire life.
Right? No, no.
There's no way. So why? Why do that? Just fucking let the dude come out and pretend to be the Doom Slayer. That would have been cooler. And then Damian Priest is like this weird fucking, let him be some demon or some shit. I don't know. Fuck. And then you give Damian Priest this fucking dumbass live entrance, which was stupid as hell. I don't even fucking get why they allowed this.
It was one guy on a guitar doing a solo.
One guy from Slayer. Couldn't get all of Slayer. They got the guitar. One guitar guy from Slayer.
Yeah.
To come fucking do it.
They're like, we spent all our money on Living Color for fucking CM Punk.
We got no money left.
Yeah, we can't afford Slayer in its entirety.
Yeah, so we'll just get the guitarist and it'll just be a guitar. He'll just do guitar riffs for fucking 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you'll just walk out and then you'll give him the fucking like rock on symbol.
Yeah.
That was lame as fuck, man. That fell flat for me. I'm glad Drew McIntyre whooped his ass. That's what needed to be done. Good for Drew McIntyre. Glad he's back on top. Then we get into match number three, which was, quite honestly, match of the night.
Best match.
Match of WrestleMania, hands down, I feel like.
Hands down.
Dominic Mysterio, Braun Breaker, Finn Balor, Penta for the Intercontinental title in a Fatal 4-Way. God damn, that match was so fucking good.
I think part of why it was awesome is because we didn't know who was going to get the win.
Yeah.
Because most of these matches, I think you can kind of speculate with pretty good reason of who's going to win. This one was like, you know, I mean, dude, I had it pinned down to Penta winning.
Yeah.
90%. My gut was telling me 90% that Penta was going to win, and there was a 10% chance that Dominic Mysterio would be the dark horse, and to our surprise, he actually won.
He pulled it off, and in quite spectacular fashion, by the way, at the end with the fucking Finn Balor doing the coup de grace, and then him frog splashing on top of him to kill him, and then get the pin. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that, I mean, Braun Breaker looked as good as he does with the spears and hurting everybody, and
he didn't take the
he didn't take the fall. Yeah,
so that it was a great way to protect Braun Breaker, because I mean now he can literally claim I was never beaten for this fucking title, and he's right, and that's pretty fucking awesome. So that was match of the fucking night. Honestly, that match was only 10 minutes and 30 seconds. I did not feel like
a lifetime.
I felt like it was much longer than that. And then we got into the Randy Orton versus Mysterious opponent or mystery
opponent
since Kevin Owens is injured.
I'm not gonna lie, this one kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, it did too. I thought that it was kind of whack. Like Joe Hendry, man. Like, listen, people who listen to us already know I don't like Joe Hendry. All right, I hate his fucking theme. I hate that he has a theme song. His whole he can't wrestle for shit. He's fat. All right, he's fat. His gimmick is his theme song, right? And I get that, right? But fuck this guy, all right? He's the TNA world heavy. He's the TNA champion. He fucking strutted out with his TNA title, smiling, I'm Joe Hendry. And I will say, I am glad Randy Orton whooped his ass and fucking did it in like 3 minutes.
I was of the opposite opinion.
Fuck that guy.
I'm not like a Joe Hendry mark, uh-huh. But the thing is, if they're going to be involved with all these companies and they're all just going to let the WWE walk all over them and take the W pretty much in every case, what's the point of having the other company? Why not just name them WWE too if they're going to fucking get buried like that? Because it's at the expense of fucking TNA that they make their strongest fucking champion, which is, you know, the main event guy, right?
Yeah.
They make their best fucking guy a jobber, dude. And that's been the case for every TNA appearance that has been in WWE into a WWE event.
Yeah, even when Joe Hendry was in NXT when he was fighting against Ethan Page, he lost that fucking match.
Yes.
So, jobbing, again, because if you're not in WWE proper, you ain't shit. That's their whole mentality. That's their whole mantra. And listen, if I was running it, that's what I'd say. I'd be like, fuck you guys. You don't get to do shit. You want to work with us? Cool. You're gonna put our guys over. You're going to just be glad to get the rub that you're on our TV, right?
That I think is what it ultimately amounts to, is that it's an internship for another company. Hey, you get to do 40 plus hour work week. We're going to pay you $6.50. We're going to pay you federal minimum wage, and you get the privilege of working here. And maybe when you get sent off somewhere else, you're going to get paid a better rate.
Because you were here. I'll tell you right now, Joe Hendry's definitely getting more money when he gets fucked from TNA and he goes on the independents again before he comes back to WWE. He's getting more money because he appeared at WrestleMania.
Which is the play with the WWE ID stuff. Mm-hmm. They're just going to say, hey, we like this guy. We're going to mark him. We're going to WWE ID tag him so that his price goes up and maybe he doesn't go anywhere else because nobody's willing to pay for him. But if we want to bring him up and we think he's starting to get a little bit of fame or whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to bring him up through NXT.
Yeah.
And we're going to profit off of it.
Absolutely. 100%. So it is what it is. That was a fucking straight up squash match. It was like 3 minutes. No big deal.
And then Randy Orton had the audacity to do the Joe Hendry thing.
That was pretty funny, man.
And I'm like, dude, that is so disrespectful for TNA. Yeah, sure. Like you said, TNA is getting somewhat of a rub, but it's at the expense of being made like a joke, dude. They're joke characters.
Yeah, my personal opinion, I think that they already own TNA. They're just not saying.
They're not saying it out loud, yeah.
Because the way that this has been going, there's no fucking way that TNA is just like, oh yeah, we're just cool with all this shit and we're going to continue this partnership. There's no fucking way. They'd go work with fucking AEW. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think WWE already owns them. And oh, we did forget to talk about that the announcement that they did. WWE has purchased AAA, Lucha Libre, from, you know, the Mexico Lucha Libre organization. WWE now owns it fully and outright. And that's bad. I think that's bad for wrestling. I think that's just another.
It's just it's creating more of a monopoly on wrestling that nobody really asked for. And shit, dude, maybe they'll do the same thing. AAA is going to drop for NXT at Worlds Collide.
Yep, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. But anyways, we get into match number 5, which was Logan Paul versus AJ Styles. I was already not hyped for this match because I don't. And again, no one can deny Logan Paul's athleticism. A dude that has been in professional wrestling for what, maybe a couple of years now.
Yeah, a handful of years.
And I mean, he had a pretty good U.S. title run. He's not the most sound when it comes to, like, if you put him in with somebody who can't wrestle that great, his matches suck. But if you put him in with somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing, he has a great match. I mean, this match wasn't terrible because he was fucking going against AJ Styles, and like, AJ Styles is a fucking consummate professional, all right? Like, he knows what the fuck he's doing. I don't know if AJ Styles has gotten into a point in his career when he's just like, you know what? I'm kind of like just going to be that veteran guy who puts guys over.
I think he is that guy now.
Yeah. And I think that's where he's at. And I think that's kind of doing him dirty a little bit. Because AJ Styles is much better than that, but it's because he wasn't a straight WWE guy from the beginning, I think. And that's where
they probably paid. I still have the theory that they paid him a fuck ton for this match. They're like, hey, you know, you're going to lose to Logan Paul, but we're going to offset that by throwing heaps of money at you.
You're going to lose to an influencer.
Yeah.
All right. And at the end of the day, but we're going to pay you like $10 million or whatever.
See, that's a hard. If I was a wrestler, that'd be a hard pill to swallow because that's somebody that just decided haphazardly that they're going to start wrestling because they want to promote their fucking drink. And it's like, I've been wrestling for a lifetime. Why do I have to job to this cocksucker?
Yeah.
I'd be mad as fuck.
I would be too. But then when that check clears, I'd be like, God damn it. Like,
yeah, if they send me $10 million, I said, hey, what wrestler? Hey, what about my career? What about it?
What career? I don't have a career. I just bought a new house in the Bahamas. Go fuck yourselves. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So, whatever. The match was all right. I mean, that match did go surprisingly long. Like, I didn't think they were going to let it go that long. It was the second longest match of the night at 17 and a half minutes, or almost 18 minutes. And then, I get why the match order went this way with the next match being Lyra Valkyria and a mystery partner going against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for the women's tag team titles. I thought it was a little weird to put them on right before the main event, but obviously we all knew Becky Lynch was going to be the motherfucker coming out because I had seen the TikToks of her backstage at night one reacting to Seth Rollins' like, you know, Paul Heyman heel turn or whatever.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, if she's there, it's not because she's just there to be supportive.
Right.
She's getting fucking paid. So she's going to be involved somehow. And it showed here with this, where she came out and, yeah, it was Lyra Valkyrie's part. And then they won. The match was all right. It wasn't horrific as I thought it was going to be. It was a decent match. Almost 9 minutes. Lyra Valkyrie and Becky Lynch are the new women's tag titles, champion holders or whatever.
I think they were just writing off the pop. They're like, we're just going to give them the belts so that people can go home happy.
Because everybody fucking loved Becky Lynch coming out.
Yeah.
And of course they knew that was going to happen because they knew what was going to happen next was going to be bad. And we got John Cena going against Cody Rhodes for 21-40. I will say, I thought that fucking John Cena entrance was hard as fuck. Nothing with nothing.
No graphics.
Just black just and the, John Cena.
Just white text.
Yep. And just the original theme song, that was hard as fuck. And I said, God damn, all right. You guys are onto something with this heel John Cena thing. And that's, I kind of was like, yeah, I think he's going to fucking win this shit. Because Cody Rhodes comes out with the whole fanfare of all this fucking motorcycle nonsense. I don't even know what the fuck that was about.
What did it have to do with anything, dude?
Cody Rhodes has never been associated with motocross or anything associated like that, I feel like. And yet all these assholes come out and they're doing tricks and shit and whatever. Sure, it was a WrestleMania entrance, sure, but it had nothing to do with, like, Cody Rhodes himself.
Yes, indeed.
It is what it is. The match itself, slow as fuck.
Boring. It was terrible. I mean... Cody Rhodes got some fucking jabs in and listen that. And then, I got to take a breather. John Cena steps out of the ring. And it's like the antithesis of wrestling itself, that he was slowing the match down, putting us to sleep, which is probably what he wants.
Yeah.
If this is like the kayfabe heel, John Cena is like, I'm not going to give people what they want, which is something watchable. I'm going to come and win my title, but I'm going to make it in the worst way possible.
Yeah, essentially.
Which it really was, dude. Yeah. I mean, it was very hard to get through the match.
And I don't know what the fuck was going on, because then, yeah, we got the typical referee gets his ass beat and he gets knocked out or whatever, and he goes out and we get a couple of false finishes and stuff. But then for some fucking reason, Travis Scott comes out with his bullshit fucking hardcore championship, calling himself Cactus Jack and shit. And comes in and basically gets his ass beat by Cody Rhodes. And, like, for what? Like, for nothing. It didn't progress the fucking match at all. It didn't progress the storyline in any way, in any meaningful way. Additionally, I now question what the fuck was the point of The Rock being involved in any of this. If The Rock's not going to come out at the biggest fucking show of the year... And I'm not in favor of The Rock being involved in these storylines, so I know this is going to sound hypocritical of me to say this, but, like, you already brought The Rock in at Elimination Chamber to do the heel turn on John Cena. Why would you not have The Rock come out and be like, yes, this is my corporate champion or whatever at the end, right?
They're saving all that for Monday Night Raw because they need something to sell the tickets.
You might be right. You might be right. But again, it makes me feel like it was all for nothing. Like, it just doesn't make any fucking sense. I don't know.
They're going to come up with some hand-wavy reason of, like, why he was absent or whatever, or who the fuck knows what's the excuse. But of all things, man, of all things, for this guy to be involved from the start of January, from the very first Raw on Netflix to Elimination Chamber, why wouldn't you want to follow up or follow through on having The Rock appear on what is the biggest match of... Or rather, the biggest event of wrestling...
Of the year. It's the biggest event in wrestling of anything in the year. WrestleMania is the shit. There's no one else. I don't give a fuck what kind of horseshit AEW puts up, or TNA, or New Japan, or fucking... Well, AAA's owned by them now. But any other promotion... I'm sorry, dude. You're not doing shit compared to fucking WrestleMania. And that's the biggest wrestling event of the fucking year. And Indeed. You're going to tell me that The Rock... sat this one out? Like, the fuck is wrong with you? This is the time for you to show up like an asshole. That's the time. I don't want to see you on Monday Night Raw coming out saying, yes, John Cena, if you smell. I don't want to see that shit on Raw. I needed to see that on WrestleMania. To see the heel turn complete, because now it just looks like John Cena and Travis Scott are in some fucking faction together. And I don't believe that for a fucking second.
Yeah, dude, that dude's going to be, who knows? He'll be gone by tomorrow and we won't see him for 9 months. I'm talking about Travis Scott, yeah. too. Like, okay, yeah, you started with him at the start of the year and he's been around, but dude, who the fuck knows? Maybe that dude goes on tour and we never fucking see him. And not that I care to begin with.
Yeah.
But I don't really even know why he was involved to begin with. But and then we get the false finish, dude. The fucking false finish with the end credits. To cut back to John Cena just to walk up the ramp, and then they cut to the Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, oh, that was the weirdest part. So the pay-per-view, WrestleMania ends, we see the executive producer, Paul Levesque, we see all that shit, right? And then I'm like, okay, cool. And then it goes to dark. And then it comes back, and there's John Cena, like, with Travis Scott, and I'm like, oh, cool. Oh, shit, here we go. Like, this is gonna be some shit. And then it just cuts to the Allegiant Stadium, and then they go straight into the aftershot. I'm like, what the fuck was the point of this? Was it, and this is the thing, I don't know if WWE has gotten too big for its britches in the sense that when we used to have pay-per-views, right, WrestleManias, like, I'll give you WrestleMania X7 was a great fucking example. Austin heel turn at the fucking end. No one fucking thought this was ever going to happen. He joins Vince McMahon. You get this great heel turn at the end. It ends with the logo and the thing saying WrestleMania X7 copyright, whatever. And JR going, God damn it, Austin. Why, Austin? Why? And they fucking fade to black. And it's done. That's it. You don't get jack fucking shit until Monday night on Raw. All this weird, like, trying to make wrestling like the UFC or like a legitimate sport. I'm not in favor of it. I think there's too much shit going on.
I also don't like Triple H explaining things. Hey, yeah. there's bad guys or good. There's good guys. But also sometimes the best stories come from true life.
Right.
Or yeah. real life.
Fuck out of here.
So what are we supposed to take away from that? That wrestling's real or it's fake? You know, yeah. I don't fucking get it.
I don't get it either. And I don't know what the fuck they're doing. And again, Triple H goes on Pat McAfee and he talks all this shit about the internet people and all this stuff. And, oh, there's people that sit there and think they know better. Listen, I maybe don't know better, but if I was in your position, I'd be doing shit differently. I wouldn't be doing what you're doing now. And granted, maybe you don't have a choice. And that's kind of where I think that this is at. I don't think that Triple H, with what he's done in wrestling, I don't think he would make these decisions like this. I feel like TKO has their hand in it. There's some overseer. Like, he thought, oh God, I'm going to be out from under the thumb of Vince finally to do what I want.
Now and I think shareholders.
Well, now I think he went to a much worse proposition, which was, yes, multiple shareholders and them appointing some asshole to be kind of like his overseer. And Triple H probably has to go get final approval on everything from some asshole that's never been in wrestling that doesn't know shit about it. And now he's got to go on TV and defend this fucking decisions and make it like he's the one doing it because I can't open up the shareholder appointee to fucking criticism.
Numerous Netflix appearances from the actors of different series.
Yeah,
that's all kinds terrible. Of dumb shit.
The Clash of Clans, all the sponsorship. Again, it's AIDS. It's the definition of AIDS. That ring. Remember, we were talking about during the thing, the referee, like, motioning to them to move closer to the fucking logo so that they can get it in the shot, right?
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's happening.
I think that's real. I think that's real. They'll tell them, hey, we need you to roll over the mat to Fatal Fury, which is something they shoved down our throats, especially with the opening of night one. They have Salvatore, whatever his fuckface name is, who's a guest character on the game. He did a 30-second spot before the match, the first match of night one. I'm like, oh, geez, dude, like, this is like the worst version of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's like, dude, everything is an advertisement.
Yeah.
Everything's an advertisement at this point.
And this is where we get into that conversation of, like, private equity ruining everything.
Right.
And that's kind of like, yeah, TKO is not technically a private equity firm or whatever, but, like, they're kind of seeming to go down that route now where they're just going to gut the WWE, sell it and or not sell it, but make as much fucking money as they can on everything and then just bankrupt it and then just fucking move
maybe,
on.
Maybe, yeah, it's entirely possible.
And honestly, I think that's the only reason Tony Khan hasn't killed himself yet. is because he knows that this is happening.
He
and he's like,
wait it out.
Yeah, and he's like, I will just wait you out. He's taking some Sun Tzu Art of War shit right now. And he's like, yeah. I'll let Dean Ambrose be the champion and do these weird death matches. I'll get fucking old Adam Copeland to fuck about on here. And I'll get these old guys to come in and come out. Oh, you want to leave? Yeah, fuck off. Go ahead and leave. I know that that kingdom is crumbling. And when it does, there will be a void for power. And I will be the most powerful one when that thing fucking dies. And then I can fucking move in.
I think there's a potential for that because as it stands right now, the product and what people are willing to pay for it, it's not matching up, man. It's not matching up. I imagine people that paid fucking hell, they may even finance their own seats.
Dude,
they may have financed their own seats and paid $2,000 to go sit at floor seats. And if I went home today, I would have said, holy fuck, I just paid $2,000 to watch
garbage.
Yeah.
And you know people are doing that because they're financing fucking Little Caesars right now. Okay, people, motherfuckers are financing Little Caesars.
Pizza.
You know they're financing fucking WrestleMania today. Ain't nobody got 10 grand.
Yeah, fucking Klarna or whatever bullshit.
What's that buy now, pay? Well, yeah, Klarna, fucking, there's a bunch of them.
I don't remember the other ones.
But yeah, Affirm, that's the other one. It is what it is, but the state of wrestling, there are some bright spots. I think there are some bright spots, even though overall this WrestleMania was without a doubt the absolute fucking worst one I think I've ever watched.
It's Samoa Jover.
It is. I think there's a couple bright spots, and I think Jacob Fatu is one of them. I think the mid-card title scene is the shits, right? I think it's the tits. The mid-card title scene is what's cracking right now. It's about to crack off even harder. Jacob Fatu, United States Champion, we're going to see some great shit with that. I think Dominic Mysterio, again, people talk shit, but Dominic Mysterio, he can wrestle, all right? He can perform. And I think we're about to see some excellent fucking shit come out of that Intercontinental mid-card scene on Raw. And I think we're about to see a sweet Seth Rollins fucking heel turn that I think is going to reinvigorate and completely change the trajectory of his career. I think that with Paul Heyman involved, this is going to essentially be when they wanted Seth Rollins to do, when he did that, I'm not selling out, I'm cashing in deal. That was like meant to make him like solidified as like a legendary moment in WWE. I don't think that was it. I think what he's about to do on this heel run with Paul Heyman, that will cement his legacy and make him a fucking legend forever.
Yeah.
Whatever's going to happen with this, that's what I think it's about to be. I'm excited to watch that. I don't give a fuck much else about anything else in WWE right now.
Yeah, it's hard to justify watching it now, knowing that 80% of it was garbage.
Yeah, it really is. And who knows, maybe, I'll blame Cody Rhodes. I think it's Cody Rhodes' fault. I think it's his fault.
Oh, that's okay. You're really just pushing me to watch AEW. I think that's what's happening here.
I think Cody Rhodes went to WWE just to make it shit so that people would go watch AEW. I think he still owns shares in AEW. I think this is his plan all along, which is genius if it is. He got WWE to buy him a bus. They're paying him all kinds of money. He was the champ. And then when he crashes the system and goes back to AEW, and he's going to be like, ha ha, I did it. I knew it all along. I did it for The Rock. Oh, fucking A. Anyways, yeah, so I don't know. I do think that The Rock will run for president and win before WWE is really good again. That's what I think is going to happen. I think that'll happen.
That's a bold proclamation. It's one that's unsubstantiated, but completely, also equally believable.
Yep, also believable. Anyways, fuck, you got anything else to add?
No, I think I'm pretty much good on this.
All right, well, this was a long-ass fucking episode about WrestleMania, so I guess stay tuned. I don't know when we're going to do the next one. This might be sparingly. I don't know. Adam may say, fuck it, and never be on here again. I don't know.
Yeah, fight us in the comments.
Yeah, fight us in the comments if you don't like it.
Give us a reason to care.
Yeah. Tell me why we should care if you're in the comments. All right, go fuck yourselves. That was another wonderful, amazing, powerful episode of the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast.
podcast. And take it from me, ladies and gentlemen, the natural lad, Jet Swag. If there's one podcast, one show you should be listening to, that you should be absolutely grateful for, it's the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And one of the things you can do to show your appreciation for all the hard work and dedication that these boys put out day in, day out, just for you people, it's that you can go and you can subscribe and you can like and follow them on the Instagram and the TikTok at Game Rage Magazine. You can also follow them and like them and subscribe to them on the old Twitter, which I don't know what it's called now, but who cares? It's at Game Rage Mag there. Additionally, if you feel the need to really show your appreciation, which you should, then go to their website at www.GameRageMagazine.com and show us some love. Show them some love. And show some love for the natural lad, Jet Swag.